Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Detectives in Sac City, Iowa, believed David Schultz would be found after the snow melted and spring arrived. David, a truck driver hauling a trailer full of live pigs, vanished in the middle of the night, leaving his truck and his trailer sitting abandoned in an intersection crossroads. It was November 21st, 2023, and searches of this part of rural Iowa turned up few clues. David's money was found in the truck and his jacket in a nearby ditch, but no signs of David, no signs of a struggle, no note, no clues as to where David had gone or even why he had abandoned his truck. This was one of Iowa's most baffling cases. On April 24th, 2024, a farmer called authorities out to his farm in Sac City. He had found the body of a man while preparing his fields for planting. The body was initially identified by his boots. It was David Schultz. This was his wife Sarah's biggest fear, and it had come true on that spring afternoon. She had 2 boys now to break the news to, and she herself was absolutely devastated. But this didn't make any sense. David was found just about 1.5 miles from his truck. Had he been there the whole time? Searchers had canvassed miles and miles, acres and acres around that area, and found no signs of David. They also flew drones. How was he missed? A forensic exam and autopsy have only left more questions than answers, and the family is working hard to learn the truth. What happened to David Schultz? Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Where Are They podcast in another update episode. This update is on a case I just covered, actually less than 2 months ago. The story of David Schultz aired on March 14th of this year. David's story has been one that I've had many conversations with since the episode came out. It's just absolutely bizarre, baffling, and heartbreaking. I'm going to play a clip shortly of a press conference with his wife, Sarah, and you can feel the pain the family is going through just by listening to her voice and her words. The family needs the help of the public to continue to push for and hopefully receive answers. By sharing David's story, by donating to the GoFundMe, or just showing your support to the family through comments and through social media, we can help Sarah and her family get some answers. There is a GoFundMe set up. I will share that link in the notes and over on social media. If you are able to help, the family still has a long and tough road ahead of them and needs all the support we can give them. Thank you for listening to David's story and showing your support for his family. If you do have any questions, feedback, or even case suggestions, please send them over to me on the socials or send me an email. All of those links can be found in the show notes. I've received a bunch of very good case suggestions lately. Thank you to everyone who has sent some over. I promise I do read all of them as soon as they come in. I can't always respond quickly to everyone, but I do read every single message that comes through. Some case suggestions, really baffling cases that I have never heard of before. Even after years of covering missing person cases, I'm still shocked at the number of cases out there which we don't know about. Let's get into David's story. The disappearance. On November 20th, David ran into his house that evening around 7 o'clock p.m., changed clothes, and told his family that he'd be back. He had one more run to do that night. David had to deliver a trailer of pigs to a farm in nearby Sac City, Iowa. This was an ordinary occurrence in the Schultz home. David left to pick up a load of pigs from a property in Eagle Grove, a property that he had been working with for 10 years. David would be the last truck loaded that evening, and he had pulled out of there around 10:50 p.m. The load was to be delivered to Sac City, Iowa, about an hour and a half drive from Eagle Grove. But that load never arrived. Sarah found out the next morning when the man David worked for showed up on her doorstep looking for David. A little while later, authorities from Sac City called Sarah because they had found David's truck, a trailer full of pigs and all, in the middle of an intersection, turned off and abandoned. There were no signs of David anywhere. Authorities immediately began searching the area for David. His truck was found at the intersection of 190th Street and Union Street. This is a two-lane highway, and David's truck was found facing north when it should have been heading south. If the truck continued on Union Street, the road would turn into a dirt road. The pigs were still loaded on the truck trailer, and immediately a backup trailer was called in to come and get these pigs safely delivered. Law enforcement searched the area on foot. They brought in search dogs, they used ATVs, and they even used police airplanes to help with thermal imaging. David's jacket would be discovered in the ditch beside the truck, but nothing else was found. Inside the truck were all of David's belongings, including his wallet, which contained $2,000 in cash. This led everyone to believe that they could rule out a robbery. And also, if David had left of his own accord, wouldn't he have taken that cash with him? The location of the truck would come into play here and would continue to mystify everyone. The truck was confirmed to have picked up that load of pigs in Eagle Grove. Detectives were then able to use the GPS on his phone to track his movements, and this is what they learned. First, they confirmed that he picked up a load of pigs and left that property around 10:50 p.m. At 11:15 p.m., David stopped at the mile marker 126 truck stop on Highway 20. This was en route to the delivery location in Sac City. They checked surveillance footage at the truck stop to see if they could find any clues. And David can be seen pulling in. He parks under some lights, he gets out, and he walks around his truck. He is then seen searching for something in his truck, drinking something, and then scrolling through his phone. Nothing really seemed unusual or out of the ordinary. He stayed at the truck stop for a total of 16 minutes before pulling out and heading back on his way. David was alone. He is seen on a DOT camera heading west just after leaving the truck stop. Everything seemed normal so far, as this would have been his route. At 12:18 a.m., the cell phone GPS shows that David arrived or passed through the intersection at Highway 20 and Highway 71 in Sac City. He was almost to his destination. At this intersection, David should have turned left and headed south. Instead, he turned right and headed north in the complete opposite direction of where he should have been headed. 3 miles up this road is where David's truck would be found abandoned. Police estimate the truck arrived at this spot around 12:40 a.m., leaving many to wonder, why did it take the truck 22 minutes to travel just 3 miles? Both Sarah, David's wife, and authorities continued search efforts in the weeks and the months to come. Over 200 searchers went out daily and covered over 100,000 acres. Many times, authorities have stated that they were certain David wasn't out there because if he was, they would have found him. In fact, the search was so intense, the body of another missing man was found. On December 2nd, 2023, searchers came across the body of a man. It was not David, however. They had found the body of Mark Riesberg, a man who had been missing in the area since October. His cause of death was listed as a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Nothing new would be found in David's case until April 24th, 2024. Finding David. On the afternoon of April 24th, 2024, just before 2 o'clock p.m., a local farmer in Sac City called authorities out to his farm. He had been prepping the fields for spring planting when he discovered the body of a deceased man. Because authorities had been given an exact pair of David's boots to search for, he was initially identified by those boots. The man in the field was David Schultz. Sarah and the boys were beyond devastated. This was the outcome they feared the most, but they had still been hoping for a miracle. Finding David, however, brought forth many questions. First, why hadn't he been found earlier? He was discovered just a mile and a half from his truck. Authorities, including detectives, all branches of law enforcement, and professional search and rescue teams, canvassed over a five-mile radius around his truck. Had they missed him? Or had he just recently ended up there? It was announced that they believed that David had been deceased for quite some time, but more answers would have to come from a forensic evaluation and autopsy, which was scheduled to take place right away. Law enforcement did say that they saw no immediate signs of foul play. Take a listen to an excerpt from a press conference held with Sarah, David's wife, and a family friend.
Just thank you for not forgetting. That was one of my biggest fears, is everyone would just stop searching and he's still missing. And I started counting because every day matters, you know, every day. My kid's dead. He's gone. He's such a good father. He's unforgettable. Anyone that knows him. He has so many friends. No, I don't remember, like, you know, I try to think of things, and it's the things that you take for granted, just like him watching, you know, YouTube crash videos and trying to teach the kids what went wrong. You know, he's always trying to teach these little lessons to them and to open the doors for women and respect your mother. He has old school values that's hard to match. He loved him so much. He didn't like to go anywhere without him. He brought him with him, you know, even to just the store downtown, and he brought them trucking this summer for the first time, so they got to learn what he does and his work ethics. I know that's important for him to, you know, not half-ass things, do it the right way the first time, and he's constantly teaching them lessons. And my biggest thing was to find him, just to not wonder where is he every day, you know. That's a big step. I hope that we can find out what happened and why, but the biggest relief is that here, he's here. You know, it matters what happened to him, but I'm just, you know, enjoying the fact that I know where he is now. Like, I can sleep a little bit easier. On the way, he gave me a kiss goodbye, and he said, gotta go, baby. You know, love you, baby.
I think touched on the fact, too, and this has been communicated in past articles, but about the fact that there was one of the boys that wanted to hug or kiss, and he said, sorry, buddy, gotta go.
No time, gotta go, buddy.
No time, gotta go, you know.
He didn't know it would be the last goodbye. Would have never left without kissing him, you know. And my boss kind of tricked me into going for a car ride. He said, hey, I like to go on a car ride on nice days. How about you? And okay, so I got in his truck and we were driving, just talking work stuff, safety stuff. I'm the safety coordinator, and I didn't understand it all until we got to about my house, and he And he grabbed my hand and said, I know you've been through a lot. And the sheriff called. And he wants me to meet you here at your house to talk to you. And so I knew we'd been found. Like, this day I've been dreading but hoping, you know, at the same time would come. And it finally came, and it was surreal. I had a feeling he would be found for some reason during when the farmers were getting their fields ready, but I just didn't know, you know, when, and it was yesterday. It finally happened. You know, I fear I answer the phones at work, or I used to answer the phones, and I can hear the phone ring, and, or sometimes the sheriff will come to serve papers or whatever to someone, and every time I'm wondering, is this the day? Is this it? It's finally here. It's finally over. It's, they found him. Yeah. Relief. Relief is a big one. And sorrow, you know, it's confirmed. But what we thought, you know, I know he would have never left us unless something bad happened. And something bad happened, I know. I can't think of any reason why he would have walked a mile and a half out to the middle of the field and laid down and taken his coat off and shut his truck off. Truckers don't shut their trucks off. They don't shut them off until they're done for the day. They don't ever shut the truck off. I don't, things don't add up, don't line up. I suspect foul play. Yeah. My daughter was home visiting. My grandson was here for Thanksgiving. He was looking forward to getting done with work and coming home to spend time with them. And I can't think of a good reason to get out of the truck and walk in the middle of a field.
What are your feelings today about how the investigation was handled?
I don't really want to talk about that.
Yeah, I think it's something that we just need to wait on. You know, like I've said, after today, media inquiries to Sarah can stop. If there's anything else that needs to be, you know, talked about as far as that stuff, as the investigation goes on, I deal with media regularly. I think most of you here know me. I'm more than willing to work with you a little bit if I can, but I'm only going to convey the information that I have that I have confirmed. I know who owns the land. Because, you know, based off of our property permissions that we were able to acquire through this entire search. So I know who owns the land. I can imagine that it was either, you know, him or one of his employees, but I don't think either one of us have any knowledge on exactly who was the one to make that call.
Was there any evidence that he moved anywhere to that location or anywhere around
here? You know, until we get the, you know, report from the state examiner's office, or until we kind of know what the state of decomposition is 100%, it's hard to say. If I, you know, personally could have saw that, then I could have probably made that, or I could have at least made an educated guess on that, but I don't have that information at this point.
Do you know how long the autopsy
will take? Generally, about a... Before you get the report and everything, we generally see about a 3 to 4 day period.
And then have you received any other updates today from DCI or the sheriff?
I haven't. No. I don't know. I don't know anything about, like, decomposition, but I feel like he was out there for 5 months. And
thing is,
I can't believe it wasn't just bones by now, but there's animals, vultures, coyotes. And from what they made it sound, that nothing was missing on him. He wasn't just bones. So I don't understand how that can be, because to me, 5 months is a long time to be out in the elements and the fluctuating weather, but I haven't seen him, so I don't know.
And we did have a very unusually warm winter this year. Yeah, I think everybody knows we didn't get near the snow we've had in the past and near the cold weather and freezing weather that we've had. And so decomposition should have happened. If the body doesn't line up with decomposition, then I would venture to guess that it hadn't been there for 5 months. But like I said, it's an educated guess based off of just the little bit of information that I know right now.
And when he went missing, the fields were empty and yep. There was no snow.
And there's been no crop planted since. So
I just can't understand how he couldn't have been found, especially by drones.
With the drones flying that 2-mile radius in the first few days, Those weren't our drones. Our drones flew outside of there. And we did fly some of those areas, but not, like, very close to there, but not there. But with those, with thermal drones, by the time that we were here, by the time that everything kind of, by the time we would have flew in that area, a thermal drone wouldn't have done as much good as it would have done those first 2 days. Because your body's going to hold heat for a certain amount of time, right? To not be picked up on that thermal drone in those first, you know, 2 days, it, like I said, I would venture to guess that it wasn't there at that point.
The autopsy was completed on April 25th, 2024, and there were no indications of foul play found. While final results are not in yet, authorities have publicly stated they do not believe David Schultz was the victim of foul play. The family disagrees, however. Sarah and other family members have enlisted the help of the United Cajun Navy to raise funds for a second autopsy for another opinion. They don't believe that there was any reason for David to be out in that field on his own accord. He didn't run away. And there was no indication of self-harm. He was happy and healthy. How or why does a 53-year-old man just leave his truck in the middle of the road, in the middle of the night, and walk into a field and die? David was found in a farm field, lying face up. He was wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and his jeans were pulled down. He had his boots on, which ultimately led to his initial identification. His truck keys were found in the pocket of his jeans. A second private autopsy will cost over $10,000, and with the family requesting it, they will have to foot the bill. This, in addition to the unexpected funeral expenses, has been an extra burden to Sarah and David's families. Sarah has been grateful for the overwhelming community support, but her struggle is far from over. This is still a pretty new development, so of course we'll be watching for additional updates and news. This has been a case I have checked up on almost daily since I first covered it in March, and I will continue watching for more news. The mystery of where David is has been solved, but why he was found deceased in a farm field and what exactly happened to him remains to be learned. I will share the link to the GoFundMe in the show notes and over on our socials. Please help out if you can. Another way you can help is just by sharing the GoFundMe and sharing David's story. I often get asked, how can we as the public help with these missing person cases? First and foremost, by supporting families on social media. Following and liking their pages can help them be seen by more people. Sharing helps them find a bigger audience also. These are things that anybody can do and that doesn't cost a dime. If you are financially able, consider donating to their GoFundMes. Make sure the GoFundMes are set up by a friend or family member and they have been verified. You can also join us over on Patreon for just $3 a month. We do make regular donations to families and charities, and we will be sending something to the Schultz family. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. If you can, give us a 5-star review on your podcast app. This will help our show turn up more in search results. And honestly, whether the show is clicked on and listened to or not, just by the show showing up more in these results helps the missing person's name receive more exposure in search engines. All of this can have a snowball effect on keeping the person's name out there. A terrible, sad, and tragic update, and our hearts go out to the Schultz family. David left behind a big family, lots of friends, a loving wife, and 2 twin young sons. Something happened out there in Sac City, Iowa that night. Hopefully one day we will know what. Please remember again to follow us over on the socials and send me any questions, comments, feedback, or case suggestions via email to canwefindthem@gmail.com. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.